Blog Talk Radio.
And all access football inclusive.
Back at it again. It's the Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show with your host, Rick Saratella, RIC, place to be. That is me. Join with me, I have Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancino. I'll introduce you to them in a moment. And baby, whew, I am out of breath, running away in the standings in my fantasy football league. It's a week six holiday, everybody, October 17th. You know how we do a Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show right here on the Fantasy Sports Channel. Breaking it down for all the people out there, stud duds and sleepers in each and every single game. And as always, going to be answering your questions live in the chat room. Want to give a shout out to our chat room people, still trying to catch my breath here because all my chat room party people are running away in their leagues too. They're going to be calling up and telling you about it. Jack Strap, Real Anakin, Snake Eyes, the boys, the usual suspects, still waiting for Taz. He was on hiatus last week. Woo! Time to welcome in the stars of the show, Rostradamus, Ross Mandel. How are you doing today?
Ready to rock, baby. Tick-tock, you don't stop. The meat of the season is here, and I'm ready to rock.
Oh, and the good Reverend, fresh out of church each and every Sunday, Ralph Mancini.
We are ready to put the smackdown on the competition.
Woo, that's right, baby. That's what I've been doing to you guys all season long. And if you want to get in on the action, I'm going to break it down for you right now. The phone call, if you do want to get in, 347-945-6275, 347-945-6275. I'm sure we'll be hearing from Jersey pretty quickly. But let's get into one of these games. Philly 0-2, Ross, against Michael Vick and the Philadelphia Eagles at home. The Eagles 0-2 this year. Mike Vick not able to get healthy enough to start. He will be the number three quarterback in this matchup. Break down the stud duds and sleepers for us.
Yeah, it's, you know, Michael Vick's got to be bumming that he's not able to face the Falcons, but he will not do so. I'll tell you the guy you want in this game, Michael Turner. You know, you can go on and on and on about the Eagles, and you're going to see this stat if you watch this game. They haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher all season. But the bottom line is that teams have shredded them on the ground. They're 24th in the league against the run, and Turner's going to have a solid day. When the Falcons get a chance to keep it on the ground, they do so, and they will do so today. And last week I liked him, and I like him again this week, and that's LeSean McCoy. He's going to do some serious damage against the Falcons, but I think more of it will be as a receiver than a runner. Roddy White, obviously, is a wide receiver to have in this one to me. He's second to Reggie Wayne in receptions. He's sixth in the league in yards, and he has more than two times the yards as DeSean Jackson receiving, but you're gonna still have to play DeSean Jackson in this game. Although, if you watched the Eagles last week, you saw Jeremy Maclin and Brent Celek had three times as many targets as DeSean Jackson. It's hit and miss when DeSean Jackson is in there now, as long as Kevin Cobb is in there. But you got to play him this week and hope that Vic comes back next week, a little more of that downtown throwing power. Both tight ends in this game are borderline starts, in my opinion, Brent Celek and Tony Gonzalez. But, you know, if you have a bye week tight end, you put one of them in there. The dud in this game to me, I hate to say it, Matt Ryan. I thought he was going to shine last week against Cleveland, but Cleveland pressured him, and he was completely uncomfortable except for one pass, which he was fortunate to complete. You better believe that Philly's going to bring the heat this week, and Ryan just has not shown that he can prosper fantasy-wise when teams put pressure on him. I wouldn't start Kevin Cobb either. He's too inconsistent to start, even if you need a bye week fill-in. But kind of disappointed about Matt Ryan's struggles this season. I thought he was going to have a bust-out year. I think for my money, the sleeper in this one is the Philly defense. I think they're going to be able to pressure Matt Ryan. There's going to be sacks to be had. And Matt Ryan has shown that he is shaky under that pressure, and there will be some interceptions there to be had. I like the Eagles to win this game, guys, 24-17.
Yeah, I like the Eagles to win this one myself. Any value with Michael Jenkins here, Ross?
I don't really see it. I mean, we've been waiting and waiting and waiting for a number two to emerge for the Falcons, and yet another reason not to like Matt Ryan. But, you know, between Jenkins and Harry Douglas, I just don't see a consistent fantasy performer that you can put in your lineup on a weekly basis.
All right, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio, welcome to the biggest, the baddest, the best fantasy football show on the planet. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini breaking it down for you. Going over to the chat room, Ralph. Storm777 wants to know, start one at his flex. Johnny Knox, Aaron Hernandez, James Jones. Which player do you like there?
Aaron Hernandez all the way. With Randy Moss out of town, Hernandez is going to be one of the primary targets there in New England. He plays more like a receiver than he does a tight end, and he makes a lot of plays. As a matter of fact, he is the only tight end in the NFL to have two receptions of over 40 yards. Go with Hernandez this week.
All right, there you have it. We're going to go around the league, fantasy stud duds and sleepers. Of course, we're always getting all your questions in. Let's get this Cleveland Brown at Pittsburgh Steelers game in, and I have a feeling this one's going to be Bubba Sparks ugly. That's because Big Ben returns. Colt McCoy makes his first career start, and he's going to try to last a little bit longer than he did last year in the national championship, Ralph.
Yeah, this one's going to get ugly early. The stud here is Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah, he's coming back from a period of inactivity, but he's been practicing for 2 weeks now, and the Browns are just putrid in the secondary. Sheldon Brown isn't very good at cornerback, and Eric Wright is playing so badly that Ross can probably get open on him.
Oh.
Pittsburgh, I think, should be able to beat the Browns with their defense and their running game, but Roethlisberger, I know Roethlisberger will be taking some shots downfield to Mike Wallace this week, so I would definitely go with Ben Roethlisberger here. The dud here is Peyton Hillis. He's battling a quad injury, which will make it tough for him to drive his legs and run over defenders. Plus, the Steelers are the best team at shutting down the run by limiting opponents to 62 yards per game and 2.6 yards per carry. And the fact that Hillis will be playing with deer in the headlights rookie Colt McCoy won't help matters. The sleeper here is Heath Miller, the tight end. I think Miller should be much more effective with Big Ben back in the lineup. Also, Roethlisberger looks for him a lot in the red zone when coverage breaks down also. So go with Heath Miller as a sleeper. As far as this game goes, look, this is it's going to be a joke. I mean, if you want to watch the first quarter of it, fine. But, I mean, other than that, it's just not going to be a very compelling game. Pittsburgh's going to just crush the Browns here, 31-3.
Yeah, this one is going to be over before it even started. Ross, back over to the chat room. Jock, strap on. Tolbert, Roy Williams, or Kenny Britt, who has a touchdown in three straight weeks. Who do you like there for your flex position?
Well, Justin Gage out. Kenny Britt's going to start. I kind of like Kenny Britt this week as a second wide receiver. I'm not totally convinced about Roy Williams. I know Dez Bryant is going to play, so that takes a little bit of the luster off of him. I would go with Kenny Britt.
All right, staying in the chat room, the boys, Ralph, need some help with the flex as well. Sean Green, Ryan Terrain, Deshaun Jackson, Greg Jennings, and Mike Williams. Ben Tate out for the season, I believe, so let's get rid of him. Flex player, Sean Green, Ryan Terrain, starting with Clinton Portis out. Deshaun Jackson, who we mentioned, struggling since Cobb took over. Greg Jennings and Mike Williams. Who do you like there for that flex?
That's Mike position? Williams from Tampa Bay?
Correct.
And he wants one.
Correct.
Okay. Interesting choice here. I think this week, I really like Ryan Terrain. I love his matchup versus the Colts. The Colts really can't stop anybody against the run. They're banged up in the defense, especially at the safety position. And Washington's playing at home, so I look for them to establish the running game in this one. I think Ryan Terrain has his breakout game this week.
Yeah, I think Ryan Terrain on paper is the logical choice here. However, I'm a little worried that Keelan Williams might steal some goal line touches. Also, I like Tampa Bay to give New Orleans a very tough matchup this week. And if they're going to have any chance to win, that means Mike Williams is going to have a touchdown reception or two. So there, I'm going to roll the dice and gamble with Mike Williams just because I like the upside there. Since we're split on this, Reverend, let me get a third opinion, toss it over to Rostradamus, and see who he likes in this equation. Sean Green, Ryan Terrain, Deshaun Jackson, Greg Jennings, or Mike Williams from Tampa, Ross. Who you liking there?
I'm going with the guy who's getting the touches, and to me that's Ryan Terrain. I'm not buying into the Keelan Williams steal and goal line carry theory. I'm going with Terrain in this one on the ground against the Indy running defense.
Okay, non-PPR, since you had Aaron Hernandez in the last question, Ralph, let's stick with you. Tight end, non-PPR, Aaron Hernandez or Mercedes Lewis, who's been playing like a Mercedes?
Yeah, I'm going to continue going with Aaron Hernandez just because he is playing with the better quarterback, obviously. He's going to be playing in a game versus the Baltimore Ravens where they're going to need to throw the ball, where both teams are going to be scoring, I think, a fair amount of points. I'm gonna go with the guy in the better offense with the better quarterback in this one.
All right, there you have it. Football Nuts 79, Ross wants to know, Marshawn Lynch, how do you think he fares against the Bears today? We hear that he's going to play often and a lot. Are you buying it?
Yeah, they got that Cal Bear backfield reunited with the Seahawks, but as long as Matt Hasselbeck's the one throwing the ball, you know, the Bears are going to be able to do a little bit of cheating. I think Lynch is going to get an awful lot of carries, but as I threw down in the chat room, I see him having one of those, you know, 20 carries for 55, 60 yards. And if the Seahawks do get the ball inside the 10-yard line, which to me is no guarantee, I could see him scoring a touchdown. But to expect more than that, I think, is foolish.
I'd agree with that. PC Keen in the chat wants to know, Ralph, need one non-PPR, C.J. Spiller, Mike Williams from Tampa, or Lewis Murphy. Who you buying here?
I'm going to go with Mike Williams from Tampa Bay. Now, the one caveat with Mike Williams is, they are saying that he is going to be a game-time decision, has a bit of an ankle issue. So, you know, pay attention to those pregame shows and look for any last-minute updates. But I like Mike Williams in this matchup. This guy seems to get it done each and every week. He is the go-to guy in that offense. Him and Josh Freeman are growing together, both getting better each and every week. I'm going to go with Williams.
All right, Ross, a lot of fantasy football owners frustrated with Kellen Winslow the last few weeks. Who do you like this week, Aaron Hernandez or Kellen Winslow?
Interesting. Well, it depends on your boy Mike Williams. I think if Mike Williams is listed as being out right before that game starts, then Kellen Winslow is really the only person that Josh Freeman's going to have to throw the ball to. So in that case, I would like Winslow. But if Williams plays, I think Hernandez is a safer pick.
All right, we'll have a projection for Jay Cutler when we cover the Bears game. Ralph, go Bronx, needs a flex player. A lot of flex help this week with Sean Shady McCoy or Malcolm Floyd, non-PPR. Who do you like there?
I want to go with Shady McCoy. I know he's got that busted rib, but, I mean, this guy is just getting better and better each and every week. The kid's explosive. You know he's going to see the ball a lot, especially with Kevin Cobb back there. You know he's going to check down to him early and often. I'm going to go with McCoy here.
All right, Ross, we got the boys. Has a tough one. Ryan Terrain, Javid Best, or Ronnie Brown against a banged-up Packers defense this week. Who do you like there, Terrain, Best, or Brown?
Wow, that's a nice setup to have. I think I'm going to go with Javid Best in this one. I don't think the Giants are going to be able to hold the Lions down entirely this week, and Best has proved that he can get the job done fantasy-wise, either on the ground or through the air. The guy's a fantasy football force, and I kind of like him a little more than I like Terrain, but either way, you're going to be okay, I think.
All right, there you have the Fantasy Football Insiders radio show. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini going around the league of mystery intrigue. And this next one, Ross, is going to be a doozy because, you know, the Giants usually have a reputation for playing to their level of opponent, whether it be up or down. They usually play right along with them, and Detroit 1-4 enters the windy Meadowlands, the new Meadowlands, as Sean Hill makes his last start before Matthew Stafford takes over. One little side note for all you Dynasty and Keeper League fantasy owners, Victor Cruz placed on the IR ending his season, but guess what, folks? If you do have him in a dynasty league, don't cut him just yet. See what this kid can do next year. Take it away, Ross.
Yes, sir. I was going to mention your boy, Victor Cruz. One more note here. I hate and I never talk about kickers, but this one merits discussion. The Giants signed Shane Graham this week. In my opinion, Lawrence Tynes is unstartable because of that. You know, when you're carrying two kickers, that means that neither of them is startable. So keep that in mind if you have a kicking issue on your team. I think that the Giants would be in trouble in this one, Rick, except Detroit's defense just isn't going to be able to stop the Giants' offense. Hakeem Nicks, first in touchdowns, eighth in yards. He's a number one wideout, folks, and there's no more question about it. He's going up against Detroit's pretty weak pass defense, and I see a big day in store for Mr. Nicks. Ahmad Bradshaw averaging 5 yards carry. He's had big play potential, especially against Detroit. He certainly may be giving up some goal line carries to Brandon Jacobs, but there is a score at least in Bradshaw's game today. Calvin Johnson's going to play, as we've been discussing in the chat room, and he may be more of a decoy. His presence is going to allow Javed Best to succeed in this game and be a pretty decent fantasy producer on the day. He's always a big play threat, and the Giants always scare me with their inability to stop big plays on a regular basis. I like Eli Manning here, but I don't love him. I think you start him this week, but he's certainly not going to go over 300 yards and throw for four touchdowns by any stretch of the imagination. Sean Hill has filled in admirably, but I don't like him today against that Giant pass rush. I think they're going to crush him a few times. He, to me, is the dud today. I think because Calvin Johnson is limited and the Giants' pass rush has been so on the warpath of late, you don't want to start Hill today. You know, Detroit's been pretty good at stopping sacks, but I think that's going to change today. And for my money, I wouldn't start Calvin Johnson today. I just think that that shoulder's banged up. He does have the potential to bust out with a decent game. You know, once those games start, these injured receivers seem to shine in the spotlight regardless of how banged up they are, and it's not impossible to make yards against the Giants, but there are better options out there this week. If you have them, put them in. I think the sleeper in this one, and I didn't think I'd ever be mentioning his name again, and that's Brandon Jacobs. Look, he's going to get the goal line chances, and he's a decent flex play this week. He scored double digits in fantasy league the last 2 weeks, and I think he's good for at least a touchdown in this game and might see some additional yardage to rack up in extended garbage time, because I think the Giants are going to be winning this game by a pretty comfortable margin in the second half. And I also like the Giants' defense as a sleeper. You know, there's going to be a lot of throwing a ball by Detroit, and to me that means a lot of opportunity for the Giants' defensive line to tee off on Sean Hill, rack up some sacks, plenty of interception opportunities for the Giants, who are going to win this game pretty comfortably, 34-16.
All right, there you have it. Our residential Giants guru has the G-men big time, but I'm going to tell you this, Sean Hill, this kid might be making his last start of the season, and he'll be showcasing himself. He'll be having a big motivation factor, and I wouldn't count the Lions out of this game so quickly. All right, guys, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, time to open up the phone lines, and I appreciate you guys waiting patiently. And who else better to start the day off with Jersey himself?
Jersey in the house, my brothers, to start a new Sunday fun football day. How's everybody doing today?
Very well,
doing
my
good,
friend.
Doing good.
Hey, I'm not doing bad myself. A couple quick questions. I guess I'm going to take Big Ben over Flacco this week in both leagues since you like Big Ben. I figure it's pretty
Big
close.
Big Ben over Flacco. Let's throw it over to Ralph for his opinion on that one.
Yeah, I think they're both going to have
Ralph
good fantasy
Ralph
days.
Ross, Big Ben and Joe Flacco this week. Who do you like there?
Go ahead, Rev.
Hello?
Yeah,
Big Ben and Flacco, yeah.
I like both the guys today. I think I'll go with Flacco over Big Ben just because they're going to need Flacco more to put up points, whereas the Steelers are going to easily just run roughshod over the Browns with the running game and with their defense.
Yeah, I could see that. I think Pittsburgh will be up early at halftime. They'll probably run the ball more in the second half. So, I'll buy Joe Flacco this week, Jersey.
All right. And then between my PPR league, between Moss, Malcolm Floyd, and Bolden, man, I sat Malcolm Floyd last week, and Bolden gave me 1 point. But between the three, which of the two you like in a PPR league? Between Randy Moss, Malcolm Floyd, Antoine Bolden.
Moss, Floyd, and Bolden, three heavy hitters there, Ross. You want to take a whack at it?
It's Randy Moss?
Yes, sir. Correct.
Randy Moss. I got to tell you, I'm not high on the Ravens passing game today. I know New England's pass defense hasn't been that good, but I see that game being pretty low scoring, believe it or not. I would toss Bolden out of those three and go with Moss and Floyd. I like Malcolm Floyd a lot today.
Hey, since it's a PPR jersey, I really like Floyd just because, you know, Favre with the bicep, we'll talk about that later in the show when we preview the game. I'm just not so sure he'll be able to air it out to Randy Moss like he did. We're hitting them with the long bomb for the 500 touchdown. I just don't know if we're going to see that this week. Legadu Nanu is out for the Chargers. That means Phillip Rivers is going to be looking towards Malcolm Floyd early and often, if you ask me.
Okay, I'll definitely do that there. My last one, I've been going with pretty much Steven Jackson all week, you know, all season long. I have Foster. So I have Foster and Jackson in there, but I also have Matthews, and they're both playing one another. You get the St. Louis going against San Diego. Now, do you take a chance on Matthews with maybe getting a touchdown in the standard league and some yards, but you got his, you know, Colbert there, or do you go with Steven Jackson hoping that he gets you 100 yards again, 114 yards, maybe a touchdown, maybe not? Which of the two do you like? That's my last question, guys, and I do appreciate it.
Yeah, Steven Jackson has been killing fantasy owners as well as myself. tough. But what I've been noticing, though, is, you know, even with Ryan Matthews, a little banged up, but even so, Tolbert is not going away. This guy is in the mix to stay. And, Ralph, I don't know about you, but I've noticed on the goal line they've been giving the ball to Tolbert and not Matthews.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's also because Matthews is recovering from that ankle injury from earlier in the season. I think that Matthews is going to get a few more carries this week. I think they're working him in slowly, gradually. With Jackson, look, I think he's going to get you some good yardage. I think, though, I don't think he's going to score. I think he gives you less of a chance of hitting pay dirt. I think that Matthews gives you a better chance of getting you a touchdown this week. So I think I would probably go with Matthews. If you're looking for yardage, I go with Jackson. If you're looking for scores, I'd go with Matthews.
Let's get Ross to weigh in there because, you know, I'm hesitant to play Matthews myself. Steven Jackson said he's 100%. Ross, do you believe him?
Well, I mean, last week he did carry the ball 25 times, had 114 yards. So to me, you know, if he wasn't healthy last week, I'm kind of interested to see what he could do this week. I think the Chargers are going to give the ball to Matthews more this week, but it'd be hard not to. He only had 9 carries last week. So, you know, expect him to get 15, 16 this week. I think if you have Tolbert, now is the time to sell him. I don't think his value is ever going to be higher than it is right now, and I think after this week it's going to continue to decrease. You got a shared situation there. You got Steven Jackson getting everything by himself and getting healthier. I definitely go with Steven Jackson this week.
All right, yeah, I'm going to go. And I'm going to
go
with Witten. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
And I'm going to use Witten over Hernandez in my standard league too. Good move.
It's hard to trust that Dallas offense to do anything.
I know.
And you know Hernandez is going to get the ball. I think they're comparable, but again, I think the Dallas game is going to be higher scoring, so I would go with Witten in that situation, but it's pretty close. You can't lose either way, I don't think.
Okay. All right. I appreciate you. Hey, you guys are great, man. You got me on my right track. I'm 3-2 in my leagues now. Had some early bumps with my boy Flacco first couple weeks, but you guys have helped me. I appreciate it. And as usual, I always say best of luck to you guys. Hope everything is going well. And like I said, I really appreciate your help on Sunday mornings to finalize my thing. Hey, last question, Junior. He had a football game yesterday. Won again. They're Del Valle, ranked 12th in the nation. He's sleeping, but he asked me a question. If Calvin Johnson can't go on his team, he's not playing me this week in our PPR league, should he start Santana Moss as his next option? Because after that, he's only got Mike Williams from Tampa Bay, and Williams kind of banged up a little bit with his ankle. He wanted me to ask you guys, what's your opinion on that?
Yeah, that's a tough play. I don't like Calvin Johnson better than either one of those guys when he is healthy.
Right.
Santana Moss, I think, is going to have a big game. But Mike Williams is like one of my, you know, I don't want to say sleeper picks, but I think he's one of those guys that could have like 4 catches, 55 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I think Tampa Bay has an outside chance to win that game. So if he wants to go with the upside, my opinion is Mike Williams. I think Santana Moss is the safer play, though, because I think McNabb will be looking for him consistently and maybe get 6 or 7 catches.
Okay. It's a PPR. I'll let him know. Okay,
what school is he playing for?
Del Valle.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll keep an eye on him.
They were ranked 8th, and they lost a couple weeks ago to Wesley, who's ranked 3rd in the nation, like 21-17 right at the end of the game. They gave up a touchdown, but they're like 12th now. They just beat Wilkes 30-18 yesterday. So, yeah, they're on a roll. They're playing well. So that the only loss was to Wesley. So we'll see what happens. But I'll let them know. You guys told him, you know, some options there for his team. So I call him at 12 o'clock. I let him sleep in on Sunday morning. You know, then they got a little practice in the afternoon. But thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate your help.
Absolutely, Jersey. Love to have you. And, you know, we dig you out of a mess. That's why I keep a shovel in my back pocket at all times. It's a long journey through the fantasy football season. And, you know, you can't give up because there's always a chance. Where there's a will, there's a way. 313, you're on the line. What's on your mind?
What's up, fella? Y'all all right?
Doing good, doing good. How are you?
I'm excellent, man. I have 2 questions. The first question is, I kind of want you guys to walk me through what you expect from Brandon Tate for the rest of the year.
Oh,
well,
I like Brandon Tate.
I like Brandon Tate this year because I picture him actually filling in for Randy Moss being that deep threat. You know, Brandon Tate coming out of college, I mean, this guy was a playmaker. good hands, good speed, good size at about 6'2". So I think if he stays healthy, I think Brandon Tate is going to be a big play guy, not necessarily a guy you want to start each and every week, but a guy that, you know, you could plug in as your number three receiver and could come up with some 40, 50-yard touchdown receptions. Now, I don't know what they're going to do with him on special teams, if they're going to continue using him as a kick returner. If they do, then that's just a bonus. But I like Brandon Tate, and I would hold on to him.
Ralph, yeah, I'm not going to do anything with him this week.
Yeah, Ralph, 12 games left. How many yards do you think he totals?
Oh, at the season total, I could see him maybe putting up about, if he stays healthy, 850 yards, something around,
okay.
Something in that neighborhood.
And, caller, I know you got another question. Before we do, we have Ross Stradamus on the line who's been riding that Ben Tate bandwagon for the last couple seasons. Ross, you know, the Patriots had 2 weeks to work him into the offense here coming off that bye. It's actually a great tie-in to the next game we're going to preview. But your projections for Brandon Tate the rest of the way.
Yeah, I don't disagree too much with what the Reverend says, but I like his touchdown potential. I think he has big play potential. I've loved him ever since he was at North Carolina. I was bummed when he got injured, but he's back from that. But you can't just say, oh, he's going to replace Randy Moss in the offensive system. Nobody thinks he's going to do what Moss did statistically, but I don't even know necessarily that he's going to be plugged into that role. I think they're just going to spread the wealth around a little more, and I do think his fantasy stock is going to continue to rise, but to think that he's going to be, you know, a week-in, week-out fantasy football starter, I think is a bit premature, at least for now, although I think at the end of the season, he's going to be a guy that Dynasty League owners are going to be very happy that they held on to. I think he's going to be a tremendous football player, but it's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah, bottom line, if you have him on your roster, you got a nice player stashed on your bench who may factor in as a nice little fantasy football play.
Okay, that's good to hear. I appreciate that encouragement.
What else you got for us?
Okay, my second question is a commissioner control question. I run a few leagues, and I have a team that's basically it's a ghost ship. They're not doing anything. I'm frustrated that I even invited this gentleman into my fraternity of leagues. And it's a 14-team league. I want to completely lock him out. And so I want some suggestions on what I can do in terms of maybe a bye week or how I can structure my playoffs and things like that with taking the team out. Now, he's 0-5, so everybody is beating him. So there's an option where everybody can just get a win against him. You have any suggestions?
Yeah, you know, I've commissioned a lot of leagues myself, and I had this problem once or twice in my life, and I found the best way to do it is, you know what, obviously it was a mistake inviting this guy in the league. I think from a commissioner standpoint, you acknowledge it, okay? I think you could do one or two things. You can acknowledge it, which is what I would do, and say, hey, this guy's out of the league. We're going to lock his roster. I'm not going to make any free agent moves or trades for the guy, but what I will do is, as the commissioner, I will set his best lineup each and every week, and I think that's the best way to approach it. The other way you can go about it is you can kind of act like the guy is still in the league and behind the scenes as commissioner, you know, control his team. But I think for everyone's involvement, the best thing is to be upfront and truthful about it. Hey, guys, you know what? Acknowledge a mistake. This guy it was a bad idea to invite this guy. You know, what's done is done. What we're going to do as the commissioner, I will automatically set his best lineup each and every week, but I don't think you have the team make any transactions.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. Okay, fellas, I appreciate your help. Everybody have an excellent fantasy football Sunday.
Yeah, enjoy the week 6 holiday. Appreciate the support and the phone call anytime. Love to have you on the line. Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. We're going to get back to your questions in the chat room, I promise. Real quickly, though, a lot of people have been talking about this NFL playoff rematch from a year ago. The Ravens 4-1, traveling to New England 3-1, coming off the bye, as we mentioned, with life after Randy Moss, Ralph.
Yeah, this is definitely a marquee matchup here. A lot of people are thinking that the Ravens are going to revert to their conservative ways and pound the ball and being conservative. However, you know, if Cam Cameron plays his cards right here, he's going to take advantage of the fact that the Patriots are among the bottom feeders of the league in applying pressure and getting sacks. And that's why I like Joe Flacco here as a stud. To date, New England has 7 sacks all season, and the team's secondary is very young and very raw, featuring guys like Kyle Arrington and Devin McCourty, who I think will have trouble stopping Baltimore's savvy veteran receivers. So to me, I think Joe Flacco is a safe start this week. The dud here is the aforementioned New England Patriot defense. The Patriots have had 2 weeks to prepare for this battle, but they rank 20th versus the run and 28th versus the pass versus a Baltimore team with more weapons than the last time the two teams met in the playoffs. The sleeper here, I like a couple of guys. I like the aforementioned Brandon Tate. Look for Tate to step into that Randy Moss role. Maybe he might not put up Randy Moss-type numbers, but he's going to be that deep threat that New England needs now to fill in that role. I think he has the size, the quick feet, and the strength to get off the line of scrimmage. He's very talented. Aaron Hernandez is my other sleeper here. Look, it's not a great matchup for the rookie since Baltimore has allowed only one touchdown to tight ends so far this season, but Hernandez is better than most players at his position, and as I mentioned before, he is the only tight end to have 2 catches of 40 yards or more in the league so far, so use him. As far as a final score is concerned here, I like Baltimore in this one, 28-23.
Okay, yeah, it's going to be close. I think a lot of people feel like New England at home coming off the bye. I think they are 7-0 coming off the bye week in the last 7 years, for whatever that's worth for you. All good things must come to an end. And we're going to get down into back over to the chat room, answer some more of these questions. Next game we have coming up is going to be Miami at Green Bay. Rostradamus is going to take us through that one. Got a couple more 1 o'clock games. You can then we'll transition into the 4 o'clock games. Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football, we're here to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Hey, please, when you get a chance, check us out at NFLDraftBible.com because you know how we do it. NFLDraftBible.com is the home to all of us and all you beautiful people who visit. We appreciate the support. Nonstop football over there. Woo, some good college matchups yesterday. And if you want some NFL Draft information, then that's where you go, NFLDraftBible.com. Visit us. Check us out, baby. All right, over to the chat room, Austin Colley. Javid Best or Johnny Knox, Ross, which one player do you like out of the three?
I like Javid Best. Give me the running back who's going to see the touches. Kind of a crowded situation in Indianapolis with Clark and Wayne, along with Garcon, who appears to be healthy, and Colley back in the mix. I like Colley a little bit, but I like Javid Best a little bit more. I think he just is going to have more of a chance to rack up some yards, although Colley might score today. Could end up with one of those, you know, 40-yard, one-touchdown days where Best, I think, is going to have at least 90 all-purpose yards and probably find the end zone as well against the Giants.
Okay, I'll buy your logic, but I wouldn't rule out Austin Colley either.
I wouldn't either.
Kyle Orton or Peyton Manning, Ralph, at the beginning of the season, some might scoff at this question, but it's a legitimate fantasy football question. I checked it out. Just for pure interest, of course, Kyle Orton over under for passing yardage this week, 285 yards. So Vegas likes Kyle Orton to have another big week. Are you going to go Orton over Manning, Ralph?
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think I would roll the dice with Kyle Orton here. Look, the Denver Broncos cannot run the football, and they won't be able to run the football against the New York Jets. Kyle Orton is averaging 42.6 attempts, pass attempts per game, which is second in the whole league. So look, even if he throws one or two interceptions, you know this guy's going to put up a ton of yardage versus the Jets. He's going to be fighting, scratching, clawing. I think it's going to be a closer game than most people expect. I'll go with Kyle Orton here.
Yeah, hey, it's I can't argue with you. It's crazy to say it, but Kyle Orton, that's that dude right now. Non-PPR, Ross, a lot of boom or bust options here to choose from. Which one's going to go boom? Michael Bush, Marshawn Lynch, Michael Crabtree, Lance Moore, or Brandon Tate? Michael Bush, Marshawn Lynch, Michael Crabtree, Lance Moore, or Brandon Tate? No sure thing here, but which one you rolling the dice with?
Yeah, I'm definitely going with Michael Bush in this scenario. I don't see McFadden contributing at all to the Raiders' offense today, and Michael Bush has proved that given the chance, he can produce at least in a solid way, if not a spectacular way, and I see him doing so again today against San Francisco.
All right, I agree with you. Ralph, we have a roster decision to make. It's a non-PPR league. He needs to drop one of these wide receivers of the bunch, Lewis Murphy, Mike Williams from Tampa Bay, Pierre Garçon, or Santonio Holmes. Tough call to make. Which one wide out you're going to drop, Lewis Murphy, Mike Williams, Garçon, or Santonio Holmes? If you had to get rid of one, who's it going to be?
Yeah, they're all good options. However, I think I'd probably drop Lewis Murphy out of all these guys. You know, the thing is that Oakland passing game is just one big question mark. Are they going to go with Gradkowski? Are they going to go with Campbell? Well, if Campbell is in there, you know, he likes going to the tight end a lot. And the other thing with Lewis Murphy is that the one thing that he's proven this season is when he's dinged up, he doesn't play well. He can't fight through injuries. That's what he's proven to me. I remember that game versus Houston where I believe he had a clavicle injury, and he was just dropping passes right and left, looked awful. So to me, I think that those other three guys are more of a sure thing. I would have to drop Murphy.
I agree 100%, Reverend. You know, having a Raiders wide receiver on your roster is just about useless. The question about Darren Sproles or Justin Forsett, boy, I'll go with Ross's suggestion of I like Keelan Williams better. How about that one? I want to touch either one of those guys. Hey, even Mike Bell, who got traded over to Cleveland this week, I think, you know, offers more upside, in my opinion. Peyton Hillis a little banged up. Looks like Hillis is going to get the start, but, you know, Sproles, Forsett, these guys are just worthless. Brandon Jackson, Ross, somebody wants to know, would you start Brandon Jackson this week over any of the following guys? He has Brandon Jacobs, Sean Green, and Felix Jones. I don't know about you, but I would be leaning towards starting Brandon Jackson over Felix Jones. Do you agree?
Yes, I do. I would not start him over Sean Green, though.
Correct. I agree with that. Ralph, non-PPR, needs one of these guys, Percy Harvin, Greg Jennings, Mike Williams from Tampa Bay, popping up a lot today, and Johnny Knox. I would say, you know, Mike Williams or Greg Jennings would be the play, in my opinion, but, you know, Percy Harvin, Johnny Knox, which one guy do you like?
Well, actually, if I had to rank him, I would go with Percy Harvin, number one. I mean, I love the way he played last week. The Jets couldn't stop him on those crossing routes, and I don't see the Cowboys stopping him this week. I would rank Percy Harvin, number one, and probably Mike Williams, number two.
Okay, I'm going to wait and see personally on Brett Favre this week. You know, like I said, if you watched that game last week, you know, there's about five or six throws at the end of that game there where he went to his bicep and grabbed it. It looked like he was in a lot of pain. Wouldn't be surprised if we see Tavarius Jackson in this game. Since we're split, let's go to a third party. Ross, Percy Harvin, Greg Jennings, Mike Williams, or Johnny Knox, which guy you like there in a non-PPR?
I hate going with him because he's killed me this year, but I could see Greg Jennings having a bust-out week this week. They've made a determination to try to get him more involved, and with Finley out of the lineup, I think they're going to be forced to do so. I know James Jones, my boy, is going to produce in that void that's left by Finley, but I think this could be the week that Jennings has a decent week, although it's very hard to place that bet, I know. Harvin's a safer bet to me.
Yeah, Jennings is due for a bust-out game similar to Mike Sims-Walker of a couple weeks ago. You know, we said if this is the game and he busted out. So, hey, if you want to roll the dice, go Greg Jennings. If you like the upside, I like Mike Williams. If you want to listen to these two experts, take Percy Harvin. But tough question there. Good luck with it and hope for the best. Calvin Johnson, Johnny Knox, or Aaron Hernandez as a flex this week? Tough question with Calvin Johnson banged up, lack of production, Johnny Knox, Aaron Hernandez. Ralph, who do you like there?
Aaron Hernandez, Johnny Knox, and who was the other option?
Megatron.
You know, I'm going with Aaron Hernandez just because Calvin Johnson's banged up right now. That shoulder is a problem, so even if he plays, you don't know if, you know, he's going to be limited in some way. I mean, I heard at one point during the week he was having a hard time lifting his arm over his head. I don't know. I have my doubts, so I'm going to go with Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, Calvin Johnson only needs one arm to make a catch. I like him to see the end zone hurt or not. I just can't take my chances on the inconsistencies of Johnny Knox and Aaron Hernandez. Hey, listen, Calvin Johnson, you throw it up to him a couple times a game, let him run underneath it. If he grabs one and runs one in, you got a touchdown plus 6 points. Okay, Fantasy Football Insiders radio show is right here, right now. We're right here each and every week, 8:30 to 10, right here on the Fantasy Sports Channel, right now. Okay, glad we got that out of the way. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, with Week 6 holiday, stumbling, bumbling, fumbling all over the place like Chris Berman today. We're going to get into the next game, then come back to the chat room questions. Ross, as we mentioned, we got Miami 2-2 traveling into Green Bay 3-2. This team is all banged up on defense, like we said. Clay Matthews unlikely to play. Nick Barnett is out. Even on offense, you know, you got your Michael Finley out now, and the Packers have really struggled without the presence of Ryan Grant in the lineup. So take it away.
Yeah, we all know Aaron Rodgers is going to play, but he's going to do so without your Michael Finley, and that's a huge loss. I don't see Rodgers as a top five guy this week. He's a top 10 guy, but I don't see him as a top five guy, and that's a bummer to fantasy owners. You know, there's no way that Brandon Marshall is going to get ignored this week, coming off a bye week against Green Bay's battered defense. I think if he's ever going to repeat the effort he had against the Jets, this is the week for him to do it. As we discussed briefly a couple minutes ago, I think the Green Bay receivers, Jennings and Driver, are decent number two plays despite their struggles. I don't think you can bet on them to do anything more than that. You know, Finley's targets are going to get spread around. Jennings and Driver will probably get increased reception targets. But, you know, you got Qualls as the tight end. You got James Jones coming in. I don't think you can necessarily rely upon Jennings and Driver to have increased reception totals just because Finley's out, although they should eventually. I think in a PPR league, Devon Bess is a solid option. You know, he's good for 7, 8, 9 receptions, maybe even more against this Green Bay defense, who is, you know, as we mentioned, totally banged up, even in the secondary. The duds in this game, to me, Ricky Williams, he's just not getting enough carries. I'm hesitant to use Ronnie Brown, even in this situation. He just hasn't impressed me this year, the way he's run the football. And I think Brandon Jackson, you know, he's not going to bust any 60-yard runs against Miami. All three of these guys are low-end third running back or flex plays this week, even with the injuries to Green Bay. As far as sleeper goes, I think he could do a lot worse than Andrew Qualls at tight end. Look, he's not going to light the world on fire, but he is going to get some targets. He's not going to get as many as Finley had, but, you know, it's a chance for him to find the end zone today inside the red zone, and Aaron Rodgers isn't too discriminating. He'll throw it to you if you're open, and with the tension focused elsewhere, I could see Qualls getting a cheap touchdown, which is all you can ask for a bye week fill-in as a tight end. And I have to say, you know, alert here. If you have a roster spot that's available, I'm telling you right now, go out and pick up Rev's boy James Starks, because after Jackson has another dud of a week, James Starks is going to get the opportunity to do something, and I think he'll do it for Green Bay, and he's definitely worth a waiver wire pickup right now. Don't do it next week. Do it now.
All right, there you have it. James Starks, you know, the running back from Buffalo, you know, was on the PUP the last 6 weeks. He comes in at about 6 foot, 225, runs about a 4.4, 4.5 40. We all know coming into his senior season at Buffalo, he was graded as a first-round pick. Ran into some injuries there his senior season as well, and kind of slid to the later part of the draft. I think he went in round 6, but this kid is built to be an NFL running back if he could ever get it together and stay healthy. Yes, James Starks could be the man that finishes up the season as the running back, the main running back in Green Bay there. Fantasy Football Insiders Radio, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. Back over to the chat room, guys. Tony Mowacki or Aaron Hernandez? I think Aaron Hernandez has been on fire today. Does anybody of the three of us like Tony Mowacki?
I like him, not as much as Hernandez, though. I think Mowacki's worth a start.
Yeah,
definitely.
I think we all agree with that. How about this one, Ralph? Tolbert or Thomas Jones this week? I don't know. I think the chances of Tolbert finding the end zone would be greater. You?
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, look, the Houston Texans are tough against the run. And then last week, Jamaal Charles got twice as many carries as Thomas Jones. I don't see Thomas Jones doing much versus that Houston defense that's actually pretty stingy versus the run. I see them throwing more passes to Jamaal Charles and using him more frequently at the running back spot. I'd go with Tolbert here.
All right, Ross, here's one for you. Kenny Britt, who has a touchdown in each of the last three games, or Greg Jennings, who we just mentioned is due for the bust-out game. Who do you like in this one?
Yeah, Jennings might be due, but it's hard to rely on someone to come through when they're due. I see them having pretty comparable games. I could see them each having 70 yards and a touchdown. But as far as the potential to do more than that, I kind of like Kenny Britt. I would actually start him today.
All right, there you have it. Ralph, we all know LaDainian Tomlinson has been playing like a man repossessed. Are you going to start him over Michael Turner this week?
Wow, I think it's very close. I like both of them this week. However, I think I'm going to go with Turner over Tomlinson just because I think Turner's going to be the main man with the Falcons, whereas with the Jets, Green is also going to get a lot of carries. I don't know if it's going to be 50-50, 60-40, whatever it's going to be. I think Turner is going to be the man there. If you take a look at that Atlanta offense, it looks more and more like they're reverting to their conservative ways where they just pound the ball game in and game out, and I think that's what's going to happen today against Philly.
Ross, you know, I have Mike Wallace in all of my leagues. I can't tell you how many trade offers I got for this guy this week. PPR league, Mike Wallace, Pierre Garçon, Mike Williams, Johnny Knox, or Lance Moore. I'm going to do you a favor right now and take Johnny Knox, Lance Moore out of the equation. Wallace, Garçon, or Mike Williams, who do you like here?
I kind of like Wallace. I think Pittsburgh's going to treat this game today as a scrimmage and as a tune-up for Ben Roethlisberger, and I think he's going to throw it more than people think he is. And to me, that means he's going to hook up with Wallace at least a couple times down the field. I like Mike Wallace today. I think he's good for 100 yards.
I'm going to open the floor on this next one. Chime in. Tell me what you think. For the rest of the way to ride it out for your fantasy football team, you're banking on Sean Green or Jamaal Charles to get you there?
Jamaal Charles, hands down. Jamaal Charles is a big play waiting to happen. He catches a lot more passes. He's a better PPR option. And I think that he's clearly better than Thomas Jones, whereas Sean Green versus LaDainian Tomlinson, you know, it's arguable, you know, who's the better back out of both of them. But right now, with all things being equal, you know, LaDainian Tomlinson is probably going to get a few more touches at this point if he continues playing the way he has. I'm going to go with Jamaal Charles here.
Yeah, I completely agree. Until LaDainian Tomlinson breaks down, if he breaks down, Charles is the one who's starting to get increased carries, and Thomas Jones fading a little bit into the background. But, you know, LaDainian Tomlinson shows no signs of slowing down, and they're going to keep feeding him at least half the carries for the rest of the season as long as he keeps producing. So I think you got to go with Charles here.
All right, sticking in the chat room, Dazed and Confused, part two, two-part question. Let's take them one at a time. Ralph, you went Kyle Orton over Peyton Manning earlier. Are you going to go Kyle Orton over Matt Schaub today?
Definitely.
Yes, definitely I would go with Kyle Orton over Schaub. Look, I mean, you know, Schaub doesn't have an easy matchup versus that Kansas City secondary. I mean, they have a couple of young guys there, the two Brandons, that actually gave Indianapolis a hard time last week. So, yeah, I definitely like Orton.
All right, part two, Ross. He also has Peyton Hillis in several leagues as a flex. Would you play Michael Bush, Marshawn Lynch, or Lance Moore instead?
Yeah, I would play Michael Bush instead of Hillis. I'm not told that Hillis is well. I think they're lying about that. I don't think he's going to get a lot done today. I know they're going to try to rely on the ground game, but how long they're going to have the ball is anybody's guess, and I don't think he's going to be effective against Pittsburgh, even if he does play. Bush, on the other hand, going against the Niners, and you can make some hay there. You know, I see Bush easily with over 100 yards of total offense and a touchdown, and I don't think Hillis approaches that.
All right, there you have it. Fantasy Football Insiders Radio, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini here on the Fantasy Sports Channel. If you want daily football updates, I'm talking football, college, fantasy, NFL, NFL draft, whatever you want, whatever you need, we got it over at NFLDraftBible.com. Make sure you check out NFLDraftBible.com for all your latest news and information, your go-to guide for the world of football, NFLDraftBible.com. Check us out. San Diego, 2-3, Ralph, traveling into St. Louis, 2-3. Winner gets the 500. Take it away.
Yeah, and I do like Ryan Matthews as a stud here. The Chargers are bringing Matthews along slowly due to his recent ankle injury. And last week, Mike Tolbert actually had more touches. Well, look for San Diego to lean on the rookie a lot more this week.
in a game that they should quickly take control of versus a Rams team that has just lost its top wideout, Mark Clayton, for the season. The dud here, I have a couple of them. Well, actually, Legadou Nane, he's not playing today, so if you have him, don't start him, and he hasn't been much of a factor in recent weeks anyway. He's dealing with a hamstring injury. Sam Bradford, I think, is a dud this week. Rookie quarterbacks tend to lean on their go-to receivers a lot more than veteran signal callers, and losing Mark Clayton will affect Bradford. In addition, the former Sooner has been a little bit mistake-prone, as expected. He's only a rookie. And the Chargers scheme very well against quarterbacks. The Chargers defense allows the fourth fewest fantasy points to the quarterback position over the past month. So expect outside linebacker Sean Phillips to move around and give Bradford's young offensive tackles fits throughout the game. The sleeper here is Danny Amendola. He emerged as Bradford's main target last week with 12 receptions on 19 targets. Amendola, he's not very explosive, but he has good hands. He can get open on underneath routes. He's a good PPR option. As for the game, I like San Diego here, 34-17.
34-17, San Diego. There you have it on the road from the good Reverend. All right, Ross, I got a bunch of chat room questions coming up. We're going to get back to it right after the 1 o'clock games. Kick us home on the 1 o'clock wind down. New Orleans, 3-2. Travels into first place Tampa Bay, 3-1. I think Atlanta's also 4-1, but you get the gist here. Battle for the NFC South, battle for first place. And, Ross, the Saints did something interesting here. P.T. Cruiser is ruled out of the game. Never mind. Is Ivory and Betts the way to go?
Well, I mean, it depends. For your fantasy team, those guys have proven that they can't get the job done. I mean, if you want to plug Christopher Ivory in there as far as vulturing a touchdown inside the five, go ahead and do it. But, you know, the lack of a ground game, and especially receivers out of the backfield, has proven to be de-wheeling the New Orleans offense. And, you know, without a run game, opposing defenses are just playing deep and giving Breeze the short stuff over the middle. And, you know, Tampa normally plays that kind of defense, so I wouldn't expect Breeze to bust out this week, although obviously you have to have him in your lineup. I think Marcus Colston is a safe start, but I'd feel better if he finally found the end zone. And Rick, your boy Mike Williams, he's had no such problems finding the end zone. 3 scores in 4 games. I think if he plays, you play him, even if he is a little banged up. I think you want to pay attention to the injury reports pregame, because Mike Williams, if he doesn't play, that means, as we said before, a huge day for Kellen Winslow Jr. He's going to be the only guy targeted if Williams can't go. If he can go, Williams is a decent play, not a really good play, I think. The dud in this game, as I've been touching upon, I think all the running backs in this game are duds. Pierre Thomas isn't going to play. Betts, to me, looks shot. I don't even know how he's on the roster. Ivory can't seem to do anything besides, even though he's getting opportunities. And Julius Jones, who knows what he's going to do, but we've seen him do what he does before, and it isn't too impressive. As far as Tampa Bay goes, you know, Cadillac is still the best running back on that team, which says enough. Ernest Graham, don't buy it. LeGarrette Blount and Kareem Huggins, to me, they look like UFL players. I know LeGarrette Blount might get a goal line carry or two, but to me, he just doesn't really look like an NFL running back. I don't like any of the backs in this game. Sleeper, it's time to take and place your chips on the roulette wheel that are the New Orleans Saints wide receivers. This week's roulette shot goes to Robert Meacham. To me, he looked healthy for the first time all season last week, and he shook loose for a touchdown. I think, to me, he's got a pretty decent chance out of all the other wide receivers than Colston to shake loose and get deep this week on that roulette wheel that is the Saints wide receiver. I think he's worth a flyer in a 3-wide receiver setup. And I wanted to pick the Saints in this game, but I can't do it. I think Tampa Bay is going to win this game, Rick, 21-16. And
I love it, baby.
Questions about the Saints offense need to be answered before I can start assuming that they're going to score points.
It's time to expose the Saints for what they are, a mediocre team in Tampa Bay all the way today. I love it. I'm right there with you, Ross. I agree 100%. Ralph, you want to chime in?
Well, you know, the one guy who has impressed me is Josh Freeman. This kid is growing by leaps and bounds. I love that comeback drive he had last week versus Cincinnati. That was a tough defense he beat last week. I can definitely see him beating the Saints this week.
Yeah, and again, of course, I checked for personal interest only, but Vegas line, Josh Freeman, 220 yards passing over under. I got to take the over on that one. All right, Ross, back over to the chat room. We are Fantasy Football Insiders Radio. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. Getting back at it again, baby, each and every week like we always do right here on the Fantasy Sports Channel. Week 6 holiday, October 17th, I believe. We got about 11 more weeks of the showdown, the throwdown. That would be the Fantasy Football Championship. So get that ring polished ready because we're going to break it all down and lead you the way. Ryan Matthews or Peyton Hillis in a PPR matchup, Russ, take it away.
Yeah, I think you go with Matthews. I'm not sold on Hillis contributing all that much at all today, and I think that they want to get Matthews more involved. I could see him approaching 100 total yards offense, and I think he finds the end zone today. I'm down on everything Browns today.
I agree. Ralph, you want to make it unanimous, Ryan Matthews over Peyton Hillis, yes or no?
Yeah, no-brainer, Matthews.
All right, Tony Milwaukee or Heath Miller, Ralph, who do you like there?
You know, I'm going to go with Milwaukee, and I like Miller also this week, but I'm going to go with Milwaukee just because I think Kansas City is going to need to throw the ball, although Castle hasn't been that great. He hasn't been good, period, this year. I like his potential. He's been consistent. He's been getting at least 4 catches each and every week over the past 3 weeks. So I'm going to go with Moriaki here.
Yeah, it's a coin flip. Heath Miller, another guy I got trade offers for this week. Ross, Big Ben or Jay Cutler this week?
Wow. I really like the Bears a lot today. So, and I think Cutler is going to be the reason why. I think he's okay health-wise. And I think they're pretty close, but gun to my head, I'm taking Cutler.
You on board with that one, Ralph? Cutler over Big Ben?
I'm not so sure. You know, I mean, Seattle's defense isn't that bad. I mean, they can actually rush the passer. I don't like what I saw out of that Chicago offensive line last time Cutler played. I'm going to go with Big Ben here. I mean, I think he is going to take some shots downfield, as Ross said before. I think he is going to have a nice little bounce-back game in his return. I think Big Ben's a safer choice.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, Jay Cutler's head is a little foggy, and it's usually foggy when he doesn't have a concussion, and now it's twice as foggy. I think Big Ben has 2 or 3 touchdowns by halftime there. No Sean Moreno, whoever brought him up, thrown right out the window. He's a disgrace to my native New Jersey. Need two, Ross, PPR league. Ryan Terrain, Javid Best, Felix Jones. Is it safe to say Felix Jones is out of the equation here?
I don't think that it's a no-brainer, but I would take him out of the equation.
Okay, there you go. Sean Green or Thomas Jones, who do you like there? Ralph.
Sean Green or Thomas Jones? Sean Green all the way here. I mean, I don't think Thomas Jones is going to see a ton of action. He is going up against a tough run defense in the Houston Texans. I'm going to go with Sean Green here. The Denver Broncos don't scare me on defense, and I think he's going to get more than enough carries. I think he's going to get some goal line carries today also.
All right. Jeremy Maclin quickly becoming Kevin Cobb's favorite target, Ross, or Malcolm Floyd, who's been hotter than a fireplace?
Maclin or Floyd this week? I'm going with Floyd for sure.
All right. PPR, Heath Miller, Mike Wallace, or Pierre Garçon. I'm going to take that one, and I'm going to go with the 60-minute man, Mike Wallace, all day, baby. I've been riding him out, and now he's finally going to pay dividends. Your boy Kenny Britt or Nate Washington. Ross, I know you're with me on this one, Kenny Britt all day.
Yeah, by a long shot.
All right. Ralph, Brandon Pettigrew or Kellen Winslow. Who do you like on that one?
Oh, well, you know something, Sean Hill, he likes to dump the ball underneath. He likes to hit his tight ends underneath. I think I'm going to go with Brandon Pettigrew here. Detroit's going to need to throw the ball if they want to stay in this game versus the Giants. I just like the way Pettigrew has played this year better than Winslow. I want to go to Pettigrew.
Yeah, it's a tough one. If you've been playing Winslow each and every week, I might just stick it out one more week because, you know, these kind of things happen. You bench him, and then all of a sudden he has a touchdown or two. I might stick with Winslow, but another tough call. Non-PPR, Ross, Jamaal Charles or Ronnie Brown, as we mentioned, that Packers defense all kinds of banged up.
Yeah, I just, as I said before, I haven't been impressed with Ronnie Brown. I'm sitting him.
All right. Ralph, Jamaal Charles, Javid Best, or Peyton Hillis, who do you like there?
I'm going to go with Jamaal Charles. I think he is the best option out of the three. I like him. I love Javid Best also, but I think Charles, I think he's going to get a lot of touches today. I think that I like what I saw of him last week. I think this guy's a big play waiting to happen. I think he's the guy I'm going to go with this week.
Ross, you buying that Charles over Best and Hillis this week?
Yes, I am. I think that finally Kansas City, the distribution of touches for the running backs is heading in the right direction, and I think that'll continue. I like Charles this week.
Ralph, Seattle defense versus the Bears or Minnesota defense versus the Cowboys?
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with Minnesota. I think they are one of the top probably five or six defenses overall. You know that they always do a good job shutting down the run. You know, Seattle to me is a good sleeper defense this week, but I'm going to go with Minnesota here.
I agree, but be careful because I think Dallas has too many weapons for that Minnesota secondary this week. I think that Vikings secondary is going to be exposed. I like Romo to have a big, big day. Ross, Santonio Holmes or Mike Wallace PPR league?
I'm going with Mike Wallace. Until I see Holmes fully integrated into the Jets offense, to me he's nothing more than, you know, four catches for 55 yards. And I think Wallace goes over to century mark today.
I agree. Wallace over the man he replaced in Pittsburgh, Santonio Holmes, waited out in New York until they get him more involved. I think each week he'll see more and more snaps. But for this week's purposes, got to love Mike Wallace. All right, Tom Brady or Matt Ryan, Ralph, which quarterback you rolling the dice with here?
Tom Brady all the way. I mean, Matt Ryan actually has been a bit of a disappointment. I expected more improvement out of him this year. It looks like about half the time he's throwing the ball to Roddy White, and he's also had some fumbling issues during the early part of the season. I'm going to go with Tom Brady here.
All right, we got a question coming in from the tub. Rub-a-dub tub can't make the club in the tub. Non-PPR, Ross, Vernon Davis or Chris Cooley, who do you like there?
Whew, that's a nice choice to have to make. I'm going to go with Vernon Davis just by a little bit today. I don't trust the Oakland defense, and really the only person that's prospering week in and week out on San Francisco is Vernon Davis, and he had a terrific game last week, and maybe the offensive coordinator switch is going to make that continue. I'm going with Davis.
Ralph, Jabbar Gaffney or the hula hoop, Devon Best, Hawaii, two in a row, underdogs, is it going to translate to NFL success this week with Devon Best or Jabbar Gaffney? I would have to go Gaffney.
Yeah, I think it can go either way here. I think Best is the safer way to go just because Kyle Orton spreads out those passes to a number of receivers, so it's hard to guess which one is really going to go off week in and week out. With Devon Best, you know that he is that underneath go-to guy for Chad Henne. So I think that, especially if you're on a PPR league, I think you have to go with Best.
All right, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mantini, breaking it down for the people now. It's time to get into these 4 o'clock matchups. And, Ralph, we got the Kansas City Chiefs 3-1, traveling to Houston 3-2. Both teams aspiring playoff teams. Neither team made the playoffs last year. Houston has never made the playoffs. And I would tend to think Arian Foster owners getting a little nervous there, Ralph, with Derek Ward scoring a touchdown in each of the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, this is another marquee matchup this week. I like Jamaal Charles as a stud. JC finally got more action than Thomas Jones last week. He outpaced the former Jet with 19 touches versus 8. The fact that Houston is stingy versus the run, giving up the fifth fewest rushing yards in the league, means that the Chiefs will want the better receiving option at running back on the field, and that is Mr. Jamaal Charles. And also, by the way, the Texans are allowing the 8th most receiving yards per game to running backs. Tony Moriaki, I think, is another stud here. He has at least four catches in each of his last three games, and the Texans are very generous in giving up numbers to opposing tight ends. The dud here, of course, is Thomas Jones. We've been talking about him all show. Jones isn't very much used in the passing game, and that will hurt him. The Texans routinely shut down the run, and if their offense puts up any points, I'm talking about Houston now, KC won't be able to grind down the clock with the running game, so that means more of Jamaal Charles and less of Thomas Jones. The sleeper here, give this guy another week, and if he doesn't perform, just flat-out drop him, and I'm talking about Dwayne Bowe. He was awful last week in dropping a short touchdown pass. But Houston's secondary is very young and very beatable. Starpo is your number three receiver if you need him as a bye week fill-in. And if you can't perform in this matchup, as I said, feel free to drop him. I do like Houston here, though, 29-23.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun matchup to watch. A couple good matchups here at 4 o'clock, Ross. Seattle 2-2 travels into Chicago. 4-1, Seahawks 2 weeks to prepare for this one. Cutler coming back from the concussion, as we mentioned.
Yes, very interesting. I think the Bears need to show that they're for real in this game and just absolutely take care of business from Jump Street. I like Matt Forte. I don't think Cutler is going to be relied upon as much as normal in this game. I see more runs, more dump-offs. And he can't blame Chicago after what we've seen, you know, from Cutler's backups. You know, I see Forte going over 100 yards of total offense and at least a touchdown. I think the Chicago defense is a decent play today, as anyone is against Matt Hasselbeck. The guy's got 6 picks and 4 touchdowns, lost Deion Branch, 6.5 yards per attempt. There's really, to me, no reason he should be the starter in Seattle. And I think the Bears may do their best to force a change at the quarterback position today for Seattle. I don't like a lot of the wide receivers in this game. The only one I kind of like is Knox, and even he is a risk. I need to see Cutler have the time to throw the ball deep before I recommend Knox. But the rest of them are dud city. Devin Hester, limited playing time because of his special teams last week. I don't know if that will continue, but I'm not willing to risk that it won't. You can't start a Seattle wide receiver because of Hasselbeck's ineffectiveness. But if you want to stash someone, as Rev and I discussed last week, picking up Golden Tate and stashing him on your reserve team there would be a pretty decent idea. I think he's going to end up being the one who prospers the most from Branch's departure. But, again, there's quarterback problems there, so the upside can only be so high. I think the sleeper here, he's not going to have a dynamite game, but he is going to get touches, and that's Marshawn Lynch, the newest Seahawk. He's still acclimating to the offense, but my guess is he'll find the end zone in this game. And, you know, think 20 carries, 65, 70 yards, something, you know, unspectacular. But he is going to get the touches and find the end zone. I think the Bears win this game relatively easily, 27-13.
Okay, there you go. And that would put the Bears at 5-1, taking control of that black and blue NFC North division. Ralph, whew, we talked about it. Now be about it. The Jets, 4-1, travel into Denver, who's 2-3. And we mentioned the Kyle Orton situation, Darrell Revis, questionable, limited in practice Thursday and Friday. More shockingly, Mark Sanchez yet to throw an interception. Take it away, Ralph.
Yeah, the stud here is Kyle Orton. The Jets' secondary hasn't been as strong this year with a banged-up Darrell Revis. Orton will look to exploit that as he's averaging 43 pass attempts per game. Plus, Denver can't run the ball, so look for Orton to put up numbers once again. Even if he does turn it over once or twice versus the Jets' aggressive defense. But LaDainian Tomlinson is another stud here. LT had no problems putting up yards versus a top-notch Minnesota run defense last week, averaging 4.7 yards per carry. He shouldn't have any trouble with a middle-of-the-road Denver run defense. The dud here is, well, if you still have him on your team, that is, Lawrence Maroney. He's been awful, traded to Denver. 0.9 yards per carry with 0 touchdowns. Plus, no Sean Marino should be back, so there's not a lot of upside here from Maroney. And also, the Jets are a top-5 team versus the run. Another dud here is Demaryius Thomas, the rookie. He's coming off a concussion. He's dealing with a neck injury. At this point, he's behind Brandon Lloyd, Jabari Gaffney, and Eddie Royal in the wide receiver pecking order. And the sleeper here is Eddie Royal. look for Royal to prosper this week as Orton's go-to slot man versus the Blitz. His matchup versus Kyle Wilson is a good one, as the rookie has struggled a bit up to this point. I do like New York in this one, but it should be closer than most people think. I'll go Jets 26, Broncos 19.
Yeah, another fun ball game to watch. We're going to fly through these 4 o'clock games. I promise I'm coming back to the chat room. I got all your questions noted. We're going to answer every single one of them. Ross, first, Battle of the Bay, Oakland 2-3 at the winless San Francisco 49ers. And, you know, it's just 5 years ago, or maybe already 5 years ago. Boy, time flies. Alex Smith versus Jason Campbell here. This is a battle of first-round picks from a quarterback perspective as well.
Can't do it. Listen, the guy you want in this game is Frank Gore. You know, despite the team's 0-5 start, he keeps churning fantasy points out, and it's certainly not going to stop against the Raiders' 31st-ranked run defense. You know, he's easily, in my book, a top-5 running back this week. And Gore's counterpart, Michael Bush, is also a solid start, not as good as Gore, but still solid. He did well with the full service, 26 carries. You know, that's what he had last week, and he proved that he could produce. As long as he's upright, he will. I don't think McFadden's going to contribute anything at all. As far as the receiver goes, Michael Crabtree did come alive, enough for me to make him a top 25 receiver this week. You know, 9 catches for a 105 and a touchdown last week. I think he can repeat that today. You have 2 of the top 5, in my opinion, tight ends this week, and Vernon Davis, who had 5 catches for 104 yards and a touchdown, and Zach Miller, who has double-digit fantasy points in 3 straight weeks. Those are must starts. And Jason Campbell definitely going to help Zach Miller and hurt the other wide receivers on the Raiders. The dud in this game is Darren McFadden. You don't even think about playing him. He's hurt. Even if he does suit up, he's not going to contribute. I would not play him, not have him on my roster at all today in any way, shape, or form. And I think Lewis Murphy is going to take a big hit since Gronkowski's not playing. Campbell does not like to throw the ball to him as much as Gronkowski, and the other wide receivers are going to suffer as well. I think you leave the Oakland receivers on the bench today other than the tight end. The sleeper here, man, oh, man, it's tough to find one in this flotsam here. I know that the San Francisco's 0-5. I know that they played poor against Philadelphia, but in a rivalry game at home against Jason Campbell, I think that the 49ers defense is worth a start if you need them today. I think they're a top 10 defense at home today. And I'll tell you what, if they don't produce anything today, I'm done with them for the year. I think there's talent there. I think they'll get up for this game. I think Campbell has a couple turnovers in him, and I think the 49ers will be able to produce. I see them getting in the win column 21-16 against the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, they better get in the win column fast, or Mike Singletary will be leading that unemployment line. It's a rough economy out there. All right, we're going to wind up these 4 o'clock games, get right back over to your questions. Here's the one we've all been waiting for, Ralph. And, you know, it's kind of hard to call any game a must-win game in October, but that's what this is. The Dallas Cowboys 1-3, traveling to Minnesota 1-3. What do you got for us?
Start here is Percy Harvin. You know, the presence of deep threat Randy Moss has done wonders for Harvin, who is much more effective playing in the slot. Last week, the Jets couldn't stop him on crossing routes, and I don't see nickel corner Orlando Scandrick or any of Dallas' safeties being able to stay with Harvin today, who will be lethal with the extra room he'll get because of Randy Moss in the lineup. The dud here is Marion Barber III. He only had 6 touches last week, with Felix Jones starting to develop as more of the feature guy. Barber has been awful this year, averaging 3.4 yards per carry. Don't look for things to change versus the Vikings, who must be attacked at the edges when running the ball with a speedier back like Jones. And the sleeper is Felix Jones here. He had a career-high 19 touches last week. He's averaging 5.3 yards per carry. What's more, Jones also got some goal line looks last week. I do think this is going to be a back-and-forth, high-scoring affair. I do like Minnesota here by a field goal, 27-24.
All right, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. Over to the phone lines and back over to the chat room, 317. You're on the line. What's on your mind? 317, don't you there?
Yo.
Oh, yo. Yes, hello. You are on the Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show. How are you, sir?
I'm just fine. Hey, this is Steve
So I don't know what to do here. I have Hernandez and Moecki as tight ends. Managed to pick them up. And it's just like an equal assessment in my mind, but want to see what you think.
Hernandez.
Yeah, it's a coin. Yeah, it's a coin toss. I think we covered it before. Who did you guys have here?
Hernandez, for sure.
Yeah, I think we all had Hernandez.
Hernandez unanimous there, Steve.
Wow.
You know,
okay.
The Patriots are coming off the bye week. They're kind of readjusting their passing game to have a more shorter passing attack without Randy Moss. Aaron Hernandez is going to be a big play guy there, whether he's lined up as tight end or the H-back. I think Hernandez might be good for a touchdown this week.
All right, so the porous Texans secondary doesn't really matter, huh?
It matters. It's just a matter of who's going to, you know, first of all, who's throwing them the ball in each
That's
circumstance,
true.
I think, is what you need to consider.
Cool. Yeah, it's
Thanks.
A close call. You could literally flip a coin on this one here, Steve.
Good deal. Thanks.
All right, have a good one. All right, guys, back over to the chat room, man. And I've been, you know, eyeing up this chat room. We're going to run through this like a freight train. Marcus Colston, Andre Johnson, Austin Collie, and Santonio Holmes. You want to know which one do you sit? It's Santonio Holmes all day without a doubt. Another sit question, CLNL23, nice username, needs to sit two here. Joseph Addai, Michael Bush, Tolbert, Welker, Lance Moore, Mike Williams, and Lewis Murphy. I'm going to make this one real easy for you. You sit Lewis Murphy and Lance Moore on that one. That's a no-brainer. Team defense, Ralph, Dallas or KC? Dallas versus the Vikings, obviously. KC versus Houston. Which matchup do you like there?
Wow. I think I'm going to go with KC here. Look, Minnesota has a ton of weapons on offense. They have to deal with Peterson. They have to deal with Moss. They have to deal with Harvin. I like for KC to make a few more plays. It's very close. You can flip a coin over this one, too. I feel a little bit more comfortable with KC.
All right, if you want to risk it, you know, and you really think Brett Favre is going to be struggling with that arm, you might want to go Dallas, but again, very tough call. Ross, Jay Cutler or Matt Schaub this week? I think it's safe to say let's go Schaub with Cutler coming off the concussion. Do you agree?
I'd actually go with Cutler, Rick.
Okay, let's get a third opinion. Ralph?
Schaub.
All right, 2-1 Schaub over Cutler. We mentioned James Starks earlier, Ralph. Dynasty League, do you keep James Starks or Bernard Scott? He also has Cedric Benson on his roster.
Well, yeah, that was going to be my question. Do you have Cedric Benson? Excuse me. And if you do have Benson, I think you stick with Scott.
All right. Kyle Orton, we said over Matt Schaub. These guys tended to agree on that. I don't know. It's hard for me to bench Matt Schaub for Kyle Orton, but on paper, it says that's the smart decision. Ross, you said Meacham, it's time for him to shine. Are you going to go as far as dropping Lance Moore to pick up Robert Meacham?
No, I'm not going that far. I think Meacham's more hit and miss and has a higher ceiling, but I need to see him do it for more than 1 week. I think he's worth a gamble if you can afford to get him, but Moore, you know, has proven that he can do it more than once to me. So
all right.
I wouldn't do that.
There you have it. There was a question about who's the better handcuff for Peyton Hillis. If you're looking for handcuffs for Peyton Hillis, you might want to hang up the cleats, but I'll weigh in here. Mike Bell offers more potential than James Davis. We've been waiting for James Davis
really?
For so long. My feet are going to fall off. Mike Bell's the guy there. LeSean Shady McCoy or Malcolm Floyd this week. McCoy a little bit banged up, Ross, but been playing very well. Malcolm Floyd now the go-to man in San Diego.
You know, in situations like this, I usually go for the running back, so I'm going to do that here. I think it's just more opportunity, although I like Floyd this week a lot. I don't know why you would have to choose one or the other. I'd like to know who you're playing instead of Floyd at wide receiver.
Yeah, you should really try to get both into the lineup there. Ralph, PPR league tight end question, Cianco or Aaron Hernandez, who do you like?
Oh, I think I'm going to go with Aaron Hernandez just because I think he's going to be a bigger part of the offense. Last week, Cianco didn't get a lot of targets. They were targeting Randy Moss. They were targeting Harvin, and you know that Peterson's going to get his touches. I think Hernandez is going to get a bit more action.
All right, the question about start four wide receivers. This is a real easy one for me. Wes Welker, Brandon Marshall, Malcolm Floyd, and Mike Williams from Tampa Bay are your four choices. Sit Santonio Holmes, sit Danny Amendola, and definitely sit Mike Thomas. PPR league, Michael Bush or MJD, you're nuts if you're going to start Michael Bush over MJD on any week. Also, the question about Chris Johnson, you know, he's banged up. Hey, another one I just looked up for my personal interest here. Vegas has Chris Johnson over under 112 yards. They seem to be pretty on point with these type of things. I would never bench Chris Johnson, even if he is nicked up. Team defense questions, Ralph. New York Jets or Chicago Bears this week?
I think I'm going to go with I'll go with the Jets here. I'll go with the Jets. They're the better defense. I think that they're I know that Orton's going to put up a lot of yards, but is he going to put up a lot of points? I'm not sure about that. I know that the Jets are going to blitz him to death. They're going to cause a few turnovers. They're going to grab some interceptions. I like the Jets better here.
You think the Seahawks are scoring more than the Broncos? No, sir.
Wait a second. Wait a second. The Seahawks are coming off a bye. I don't think they're going to lay down and die against Chicago. I don't think Chicago has a great team either, okay? I mean, I know the Seahawks are not good, but I don't think Chicago's great either.
On the road, Seattle's terrible.
But they're coming off a bye week also. So I think the Seahawks can put up a couple of touchdowns today.
All right.
All right, guys, let's keep it moving. Atlanta defense or New York Giants defense? I actually, find it hard to believe that you would sit the Giants, even though I do like Detroit in this matchup, but you got to go with the Giants defense. They're going to have a ton of sacks today. Mercedes Lewis or Aaron Hernandez, Ross? Aaron Hernandez seems to be coming up a lot. Mercedes Lewis playing some good football, though, on Monday night. What are you taking there?
Yeah, Lewis scoring a bunch of touchdowns. But I don't like him in the Monday night matchup. If he doesn't score a touchdown, he might not get you any points. And I think Hernandez is going to have at least a few receptions in this game and probably go over 60 yards. I would start Hernandez given the choice.
All right. There's a question. Who do you like as a better, Adai and Forte versus MJD and Michael Bush? I think MJD is the best player of the bunch, but I think the combination of Adai and Forte wins the matchup. The X factor here is Nick Barnett and Clay Matthews not expected to play for Green Bay. I think the defense is going to be soft up the middle. That probably means a touchdown for Joseph Adai. Big Ben or Sean Hill? Boy, I really like both of these quarterbacks this week. I'll open it up to the floor on that one.
Yeah, I'm not that in love with Sean Hill. I like Roethlisberger this week.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Jokers, good to see from the Jokers. Calvin Johnson, I think he will play, but he also has Michael Crabtree, Danny Amendola, Pierre Garçon. Any of you guys think Crabtree over Calvin Johnson this week?
I do.
Barely.
Yeah, why not? Roll the dice, go with Crabtree. I'm on board for that one. All right, let's wind it all down. We're going to come back to the chat room, get your questions in first. We're going to go through these Monday night games quickly. Ross, Indianapolis, 3-2. At Washington, 3-2. Albert Haynesworth probably deactivated. Good news again. I'm sorry, the Joseph Adai tidbit was in regards to Albert Haynesworth being out. They're not playing the Packers this week, so dummy on me. But let's go. Ross, Indianapolis at Washington, battle of the QBs, Manning versus McNabb. Take it away.
Yeah. You got the Manning, Clark, and Reggie Wayne must start. You got Joseph Adai is going to be a solid play this week. Not much other options as far as the Indianapolis backfield is concerned. And you got the Collie and Garçon gambles. I mean, is Collie's foot okay? Are there too many wide receivers to rely upon both? Who's the number three? Who's the number four in the pecking order? I like Collie's upside, but I really don't think either one should be used as anything more than a flex play this week. And I know Austin Collie has, kicked some serious tail as far as fantasy goes, but, playing on the road in Washington, I know Washington's pass defense hasn't been that great, but with a little Nick and a lot of other choices, I think those guys are flex plays at best. As far as the Redskins go, I think you start Cooley and Moss every week. Ryan Terrain didn't look too good against Green Bay, but I don't think you can sit him against Indianapolis's 29th-ranked run defense as a second running back. The dud in this one to me, I don't think McNabb's going to have a terrible game. I just think the plan will be for him to keep Manning away from the secondary of the Redskins with short passes and using the running game. I think McNabb will end up maybe, you know, 225 and a touchdown and an interception, but I think he can do better with a Mark Sanchez, for example. I think he has a better week this week if you need an injury fill-in. Sleeper, look, maybe not this week, but I think down the road, Anthony Armstrong is a guy that you're going to want to pick up and stash and maybe put in a different bye week than this one. I think mm-hmm. he's big, he's fast, he's aggressive. Joey Galloway is absolutely done. There was a fork sticking out of his back last week. I think McNabb likes throwing the ball up for Armstrong, and I think he's a guy, you don't start him this week, but I think you pick him up. Injuries, more bye weeks, he's going to become a useful fantasy player. I think the Colts win this game 27-17, but it wouldn't surprise me if the game was a little higher scoring.
All right, there you have it. Don't count out those Redskins. Just when you think they're going to lose, they'll find a way to win and pull it out. Last game of the week, then we'll finish getting all your questions in. Ralph, the snoozer game of the week, Monday Night Football. I know both teams are 3-2. In fact, the entire AFC South is 3-2. Take it away, Ralph.
Now, I understand putting two division rivals against each other on Monday Night Football, but this is ridiculous. They couldn't find a better game. But look, the stud here is Kenny Britt, believe it or not. The Jags are just abysmal versus the pass. They give up big plays every week. Justin Gage has been ruled out. And Tennessee's not going to throw it a lot, but Vince Young is very comfortable tossing it to his big man, Kenny Britt. I look for him to score one touchdown in this game. The dud here is Mike Thomas, the wide receiver. Use him if you really need him, but he doesn't offer a lot of upside. None of his 21 receptions have resulted in touchdowns. Garrard usually looks to his tight end in the red zone, and then Mike Sims-Walker is also a bigger target. So I don't think Mike Thomas gives you much scoring potential. The sleeper here is, believe it or not, David Garrard. He has a chance in this one. He bounced back last week with three touchdowns, and the Titans secondary has been torched lately. I think it's going to be a close matchup. I think Tennessee wins it 24-21.
All right, Tennessee on the road. Hard to argue with that. Jacksonville, not much of an attack. All right, guys, winding down here quickly. Big Ben or Matt Schaub this week? Guys, open floor.
I'm down on Schaub this week. I like Roethlisberger.
Okay. Need two, PPR league, Lance Moore, Devon Best, Johnny Knox. Which guy's out of the equation, PPR league? I'm going to say Devon Best, you're to the bench.
No
right,
way,
guys.
Johnny Knox on the bench.
All right, well.
I'll say Johnny Knox on the bench also.
Okay, there you go. Big turn of events on Johnny Knox support out there. Which one is going to the bench here? This is a tough one. Bradshaw, Shady McCoy, who's banged up, or NJD? I would tend to think Shady McCoy, even though I like him this week. I like him a lot.
That's brutal. I'd have to sit McCoy.
Yeah. Ralph?
I don't know. I'll sit NJD. I can't sit McCoy after what he did last week.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's
tough. I don't think that's crazy.
All right. Non-PPR need two, Forte, Adai, or Terrain?
Forte, Adai, or Terrain.
Another tough one.
I'll go with Adai, and I'll go with Terrain. Look, Forte had a big game. I want to see him do it again. I don't see him being that consistent option that's going to put up big numbers for you each and every week. I'm going to go with Adai and Terrain here.
I'm going to fit Terrain.
All right, there you have it. Hey, 732, you were on the line. I was coming back over to you. Sorry I couldn't get to you sooner. Anytime you guys have a question, you want to email it to us. That includes today as well, media@NFLDraftBible.com. Drop us a line at media@NFLDraftBible.com. One of us will get back to you with an answer. That's good for leading up to kickoff today. That's also throughout the week. You want to pick our brains on a trade offer or something like that, feel free to go ahead, media@NFLDraftBible.com. Of course, we reside at NFLDraftBible.com. Make sure you get on board with that goodness. Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, Rick Saratella breaking it down for you each and every week here on the Fantasy Sports Channel, 8:30 to 10 each and every Sunday. Guys, it's been wonderful. I want to give a shout-out to all the chat room people. You've been great today. Very special thank you to Taz for doing what he always does, moderating the chat room. You want to get us on the Fantasy Football Roundtable, drop me an email. I will personally come on your show anytime. Had a very hectic week this past week, but would love to come on and shoot the breeze with you. for a week six holiday, October 17th, 2010. Rick Seratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, signing off, fellas. Enjoy the holiday, and you know how we do it.